Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which serves as a basis for our reflection this morning is the epistle, the second reading appointed for today, reading some selected verses now from that lesson, including some that are actually omitted on the bulletin but are a summary to chapter 11. By faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So far the reading of our text. Please be seated. You may be aware that there's a rather major event going on these days, just a few hours ahead of us and thousands of kilometers south, obviously the Olympics. Somewhere around 10,000 athletes are participating over the 2 weeks plus of competition. If you've caught any of the interviews with athletes, you've likely also heard some of them share why they are there and what they're competing for. The answers might include, in part, their country's glory, sometimes for their family or a particular family member, sometimes simply because they can, they've made it and they're there. But there's no denying that each of them would like to win a medal. And if they had a preference, they'd prefer it be gold. To that end, I don't know if you think about this as you watch them, they have invested years of their lives, hours upon hours of rigorous training and practice, carefully watched their diets, and often had to deal with pain and injury. Their families and they themselves have often spent thousands of dollars. They've missed out on much of the free-spirited fun that some of their youthful peers have been able to enjoy. In terms of the stewardship of life and effort, they've invested so much, also they might, just might, win a medal. And face it, that possibility isn't anywhere near a sure thing. Not every athlete in Rio these days has the ability of a Michael Phelps or even our own Penny Oleksiak. The writer of Hebrews compares life to a race, a challenging one, one in which the stakes are high, much higher than a medal or even a wreath of olive leaves. He lists one hero after another that have run the race with faith, and then he comes to the one who is the true trailblazer, the one whose completion of the race has made all the difference. And then he urges us to run the race with endurance, looking to Jesus, who waits for us at the finish line with open arms and yet runs with us always, coaching and encouraging us on no matter what hazards or challenges might lie in the path before us. I think a number of you are probably aware that on Canada Day, there's a race that starts down at the ledge just past the Banshell. runs down the hill, Fort Hill, all the way out to Grote Road, up and around Horlack, then up Emily Murphy, around Windsor Park, and then over to the law faculty, and then all the way back and up. It's a lot of bang for your buck. Not everybody wins, and not everybody's fast. But one of the things standing near the top of Fort Hill this year I noticed, as I've noticed before, is that a number of runners, when they have finished, when they have crossed the finish line, they have done their race, they run back. And they run back along the race route, often down to the start of the hill or it's part way, and they watch for people that they know that are running, people that they've trained with, maybe somebody they love, and they run alongside them and they cheer them on. You're almost there, just to the top of this miserable hill, and a little bit further, and you'll have finished too. As you catch some of the Olympics over the next few days yet, remember that you are in a race, that Jesus has already ran for you, and now he encourages you on. It's more than an ultra marathon in the extreme. It's not a single event that occurs only once every 4 years. Rather, it's a daily challenge filled with obstacles, but blessed with a superhero like none other, a coach like none other. It's time, folks, to take up the challenge as people of grace, under God's grace, as individual Christians, and to get in shape and run with endurance the race that is set before us, not on our own, but looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Run with endurance. Rah, rah, rah. Well, that sort of encouragement, that stuff is so easy to say. But how many of us don't know the experience of good intentions, even the best of intentions, and yet have so often failed to carry them through? New Year's resolutions are a yearly tradition that for the most part only survive a day or two. I've gotten so the only resolution I make is to not make a New Year's resolution. I keep that one. Similarly, when it comes to starting a new diet, we're all for it tomorrow. And hey, since it's Sunday, and you're going to start tomorrow anyway, you might as well have that extra piece of pie or cake tonight. Where's the harm, right? And then there's that closet you're going to sort through, the garage you're going to clean out, the clutter you're going to clear away, but it'll wait, right? You don't have to do it today. Do it when you feel up to it. Just like starting that exercise program the doctor's been after you to do. Let's not kid ourselves. Getting around to doing many things, let alone running the race of life in faith, is not nearly as easy as it sounds. The training manual from Hebrews suggests first putting aside, putting off every weight that may hold us back. I'm sure you've realized that it's not easy to race carrying bags full of heavy groceries from the store to your car while it's pulling your arms out of the sockets and it's cutting off the circulation in your fingers. Nor is it easy to run carrying a backpack filled with books when you head off to school uphill 10 miles both ways. But there are a lot more significant weights in life, weights that pull us down, weights that weigh on our hearts and our minds. There's the worry we might be experiencing over a family member. Maybe it's over our own health, or maybe it's over a relationship that's hurting. For some, there's a worry at the end of the paycheck that they're that far removed yet from the end of the month. Worries are as heavy and as weighing as trying to walk in your dad's work boots when you were a little child. They trip you up, just like nagging guilt from the past, whether from yesterday or years ago, can cause us to stumble and fall. You know those words that you regret but can never take back. You know too well the promises that you've broken, the things you've failed to do but should have, and the things you've done that you can't undo. There are no do-overs. Guilt may not nag you every day, but every once in a while it comes at you right out of nowhere. You know well the hurt and disappointment you've caused others, not to mention the Lord, and that guilt can weigh you down, keeping you from turning it all over to the Savior and actually trusting in His forgiveness. And then there's the no small matter of sin, in all sorts of shapes and sizes, much of it originally tailor-made to match our unique lives and personalities. There's the temptation to be negative about so much in life, about other people, about the world around us, our work or our job, the school that we attend. Such negativity, it clings to us like plastic wrap, so hard to separate once it's stuck to itself. Negativity leads us to complain, to resent, to be bitter, all of which soon rubs off on other people. It's hard to walk, let alone run, when your shoelaces have been tied together. Likewise, it's hard to run the race set before us when we're busy nursing grudges, judging others, withholding our forgiveness, or complaining about how others might be getting all the credit. At some point, we have to stop. We have to put aside the weights, confess the sins that entangle our forward movement, and to just be honest before God about our sins, not somebody else's. We need to stop and see Jesus, to see the shadow of His cross, where His race on our behalf reached its triumphant victory, not a medal, rather a crown of thorns. On that cross, He carried all the weight of my sin and yours, all the nagging, dragging evil of our lives, putting an end to our sin's accusations. That cross became the winner's podium for you and me. But how do you do anything with endurance, let alone run? And some of you, I know, do that. Well, endurance comes from training and repeated practice. Even running the race of life in faith takes such practice and patience. It can be a struggle to move one step forward when you'd rather just sit back and rest in your own old ways. One of my favorite postings on Facebook the last week or two is some sort of saying, and it goes like this: "Would somebody please go to the kitchen and get me a bag of Doritos while I lay here on the couch and yell at Olympic athletes to swim faster?" Moving ahead means getting up off the couch. Even if you've fallen repeatedly, you can't walk on water until you get out of the boat. It means seeking and knowing our Lord's forgiveness and then being freed to forgive others. The Lord knows your challenges. Listen to Him. He's your coach and your captain, and He's been through it all for you. He knows the route. He knows every pothole, every hurdle, every slippery surface, and He knows you can do it. He's with you in your heart of hearts. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, looking to Jesus. Have you ever taken your eyes off the road, only to drift into the other lane, hopefully with no serious consequence? Have you ever bumped and hard into another shopper as you hurried through a crowded mall when suddenly, oh look, a sale! You know, you have to keep your eyes on the road before you. I'd guess that you've never run into a street sign. Some of you know I have. As I turned to wave at somebody, it honked who had honked at me while I was running. Well, I'll tell you, that helped me refocus right away. As I dashed off, Not because I was determined to run faster, I was just determined that no one would see the blood coming down my forehead or had witnessed what I had done. Have you ever wondered where the saying came from, "Watch where you're going"? It could so easily be from Hebrews. The rest of this week, as you catch more of the Olympics, remember you too are in a race. All of us here this morning are in the race of faith through life. In some ways, it's like a relay, and maybe you've watched some of those, as we pass the baton on from one runner to the next, one generation to the next. Run so that you can do just that. Never neglect to pray, deliberately and daily to pray for those who run with you and who will run after you have finished. Cheer each other on. We are in this together, and we have the greatest coach ever. As in any endurance race, there will be or should be water stations all along the way. I watched this morning the start of the women's marathon, and somebody missed their water station, and she turned back to get her water, and she just about caused a major collision with runners tripping over each other. Jesus promised a wellspring of life-giving water if we'll only drink from his thirst-quenching, soul-hydrating, assured we are forgiven. He has won the race. At his table, we're fed heavenly food. Think of it as an appetizer of sorts in anticipation of that day when we shall join at heaven's feast with all who have gone before us in the race, who now stand in triumphant glory around the throne and cheer us across the finish line. Along the way, expect to grow weary at times. Life is a challenge, but there is nothing, absolutely nothing, so great that with the Lord's help we cannot overcome. Look continually to Jesus, who endured the cross, despising its shame, and you will have your strength restored. Go for the gold. With scraped knees, bruised hearts, tired limbs, wearied minds, but run on in Jesus, because you're not finished yet. Amen. May the peace of God through Jesus Christ help you to keep on running with your eyes focused on him. Amen.